All right, here we go. Third time's the charm.
Oh, I hope so.
Technical difficulties.
You guys, do you ever have days where you have to start over three times? Well, good
morning.
Welcome
to the Art of Thriving podcast. We're so glad you joined us live from our office / laundry room. You may hear some cats in the background. It's okay.
Yes, some meowing.
They wrestle.
Throwing of their bodies around.
We do have cats.
That's right. Still have our kittens, and they're still wonderful, except the litter box stinks. So if anyone out there has some tips for us, please send them our way.
Yeah, we don't have a big house either, and the smell kind of wafts through the house, no matter what we do.
It's not like baking fresh cookies. Nope, it's really, really not, not what I was hoping for.
Our cats do, or our cats.
They're
our
kittens.
Our kids do good cleaning out the litter box so far.
Yes, they have
done.
We'll
see how it
goes. They've done well.
Month two.
The true test will be when we are gone next week and they're in charge of feeding and cleaning the litter box. So if we come back and it really stinks, we will know.
The grandparents better pay attention.
Yes, I'm a little nervous, I'm not gonna lie, about the kittens.
About the kittens, not the kids.
That's right, not the kids.
Kids will be
the
fine.
Kittens.
The kittens hopefully will be alive when we get back.
That's right.
And where are we going?
On a cruise. I'm really excited.
Are you really excited? Okay, so hold on. This has been a long time coming. We've never considered a cruise, partly because you've been deathly afraid of them.
Yeah, I'm.
And I don't really like the idea of being in a big boat with a bunch of
trapped.
People.
Like that's what he was going to say. Trapped.
Yeah, trapped.
I'm
an introvert, and I like just wide open spaces, too. Not people. Yes. So I'm really curious to see if we like this or not. But tell me why you're afraid of cruises.
Well, yeah, I am very neurotic about this. And I have always said I would never go on a cruise because for those reasons, I don't like touristy things. I don't like crowds.
Why not? You don't like people?
I like
cool
people, but I like my quiet. If I'm going to go on vacation, I want it to be beautiful and serene and not full of people doing things I don't like. And now we're going to get on the ship, and what if everyone gets the...
What if everyone gets the plague?
The virus, and it's just not good.
Or a hurricane comes.
Or there's a hurricane, you're trapped in the middle of the sea, all the things.
Titanic.
I just. So I might need medication now after this conversation. I'm not so excited anymore.
What kind of medication do you need?
Tranquilizers.
Alcohol?
Tranquilizers to get me on the ship. Okay. There are a lot of reasons that make me very hesitant. But this is an all-expense-paid trip for us. And so, we're ever going to try it out, it's going to be this time. So we'll see. We'll get back to you on how that goes. Oh, and motion sickness. I get very motion sick. So I'm really hoping that's not an issue.
Me too.
For everyone's sake, I hope that's not an issue.
Yep, me too. Yep. So it'll be fun. I think it'll
be
fun.
But we're going to be with people that we love and my company that we love and doing really fun things.
Yeah,
so
the weather's nice.
Yes.
And we have a good time with people that we've known for a long time and some new friends, and it'll be a good break. Kind of catch our breath a little bit.
Yeah. And we don't get to go away very often by ourselves without kids, so this will be a great trip for us too.
Yeah, and we wish we could go away more without kids, don't we?
Yeah, we have always we do, because we have always made that a really high priority. But we value our marriage so deeply that even since our children were very little, like infants, we've left them for at least days at a time.
Does that make
so
us
we
bad
can
parents?
No, that makes us smart parents.
Speaking of shame, we're going to talk about shame today. Parenting. Nothing like parenting to bring about shame and all of that. But we're not afraid of leaving our kids behind.
Nope. I've had other people try to shame me. But they are used to it. And we tell them all the time that we love each other more than anyone else. That's how it should be modeled, I think.
Yep. Obviously, there's a balance there. But don't be afraid to leave your kids behind.
Yes.
We do have a will made in case we both die.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go there.
Let's raise the anxiety level there.
Precisely.
Okay, another exciting thing you did today. You just got back from reading groups at school.
Didn't know we were talking about that. Yep, I'm helping out with some novel groups in the third grade classroom.
How are the kids these days? Are they unruly? Are they well-behaved? Are they...
It's like, I used to say herding stray cats, but it's like, it's worse. It's like herding squirrels. And ironically, our book is about a squirrel with superpowers. So, it's It's interesting. And I am not cut out to be a teacher. Let's just go there.
Me neither. I mean, God bless those teachers out there, especially third graders.
That's
third
right. grade teachers. I went on, I helped out three times in the classroom last week, and one of them was a pumpkin patch. And when I got home, I was so
exhausted
that I laid down on the couch and slept for 45 minutes because I couldn't even function.
With your cats.
With my cats. It was so great. Yep.
Okay. Way to go.
Yeah.
Way to go.
I'm trying to do hard things, and that is
Yeah, we're not one wired to like hang out with the PTA all day long, and we just don't love those things. So way to go. Way to make a sacrifice for our
Which
kids.
For a long a time made me Yes.
that you show up. He loves having a parent there. Especially
yes.
you. He likes having you there more than me. I don't know why.
Well, okay, so here I will say this too. I had a friend say, if you don't love those things, if you don't love, you know, committees and volunteering in certain ways, do not feel guilty or shameful about that. Let that go and do the things that are directly with your children, because that's where the greatest impact is.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I enjoy being with my kids. So
Most of the time.
Just like all things. So I have decided
moderation in all
I've decided to volunteer when it's being present with my kids also, because that feels best for me.
Great. Way to
go. And them.
Way to go.
That's right.
Awesome. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Update? Soccer season's coming to an end.
Which
has been painful.
How do you feel about that?
I feel ashamed. We have not won a game. No, we won a game in like a preseason tournament, but we are.
It was a struggle.
It's been a struggle for us. And, oh my gosh, you guys, I thought we were going to win last week. We were ahead 2-1 and dominating. Had like 20 shots versus 2 shots for them. And then the other team scored 2 goals in the last 60 seconds. And to top it all off, my son was the goalkeeper. He does not feel bad about it at all. He's like, oh, I stopped some shots, Dad. I did all right. And which is great for him. Like, he has no shame about it at all. But
that is very healthy.
Gosh, it was like painful. I wanted it so bad for those kids. They're a great group of kids, but man, they're struggling this year. Probably need a coaching change next year.
It's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Anyway, it's coming to an end. Fall is upon us.
Oh,
holidays are almost here.
It doesn't feel like it, though, because it was 75 in my backyard, which felt like 85, and I legit sunbathed.
Yeah, you're getting tan for
I'm getting my pre-tan.
No spray tans here, people.
Nope.
Because I'm going into this cruise with a wicked farmer's tan, so.
That's true. Slightly embarrassing.
So get ready. Miami.
Oh, my gosh. The white guy with the, with the farmer's tan.
Yep. The white Northwesterner is going to show up in Miami and...
Yep, pretty much.
Okay. All right, so we want to talk about, let's transition. Can we transition?
Yeah.
Okay,
we're going to talk about shame. Jump in.
We're going to talk about shame. Does that sound light and...
Everyone wants to talk about shame.
Okay, so I'm going to add, you're my resident expert on this, I think.
I wouldn't go that far, but I have done some things.
Okay, so I'm going to pepper you with questions. You're going to solve all our problems. Right?
Nope.
Okay, so why are we even discussing this? Why is this popping up in our world?
Okay, so, well, I think after, becoming a parent, and everyone deals with shame. Or we have it, and some people don't deal with it. But unless you're a sociopath, you're going to have shame in your life. And that's, like, legit. That's what they talk about.
You probably have a certain percentage of listeners that are sociopaths.
I don't think that we do. So we all deal with it, but parenting really surfaced it. And then when you parent a child who comes from adoption, from the time that Isaac could like really put words to things, you could see that he struggled with shame because he wouldn't go to my friend doesn't like me today. He would go directly to no one loves me. No one wants to be my friend. I don't belong. Yep. And so I begin thinking about shame and what that looks like and how do you parent a child through that? And then thinking, oh, I have to deal with this myself.
Right.
And so It all surfaced then. And then I found Brené Brown and started doing reading her books and reading things that she's written. And she is incredible and talks about vulnerability and shame and all of those things. And especially her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, was so life-altering for me.
Okay, hold on. So let me back up a little bit and give you a little context of why I'm thinking about it. Part of it is in the it's related to the Christian world. We were in vocational ministry for a long time, 15 years, 17 years, something like that. But this, when we started, the culture that we lived in and we were really aware of was a guilt-driven culture. It was, what have I done wrong? How can it be fixed? Mm-hmm. Sort of culture. And it has shifted, even like probably sped up, I think, in the last 5 years, to a shame-driven culture. And I'll get to where you're going in a second. But so the difference between, let me just highlight and make this clear, like the difference between guilt and shame culture, I think is really important, especially as we parent, as we do our jobs, as we deal with comparison on online or wherever. Mm-hmm. Understanding this is key. So there's an article written by a guy that I respect, David Brooks. He's a columnist, opinion columnist. Is that what you would? I guess that's what he does. But he quotes Andy Crouch, who I also really enjoy. I'd check out anything by Andy Crouch. He's kind of a theologian, cultural commentator guy. But the way he describes it, and I'm just going to read it here. He says, David Brooks says, in a guilt culture, you know you are good or bad by what your conscience feels. In a shame culture, you know you're good or bad by what your community says about you, by whether it honors or excludes you. In a guilt culture, people sometimes feel they do bad things. In a shame culture, social exclusion makes people feel they are bad. So it's this is driven by wanting to be part or connected to people around you. So we're moving to this culture where if you're not correct in every little area, whether it's what coffee you drink, how you parent, whether you recycle or not, you have this anxiety about being excluded or pushed away because and ashamed. Like you should be ashamed of yourself and feel bad because of
who you are.
Who you are.
Yeah.
So it's subtle in some ways, and I'm still unpacking it, but it's an interesting shift. But it has implications to really day-to-day
everything you do,
life, right?
How you lead, how you love other people, how you parent.
Yep.
All of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd say being in ministry is a trigger too. For this conversation, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, huge. So really huge.
Thought isn't fully formed in my brain, but often, like in ministry, you have to do the right things, right? Or you're excluded from being kind of the all-star in that vocation.
Right. Or people will say, well, your ministry doesn't look like that person, so you may not be cut out for this. So instead of saying what you're doing may not be working, or you're gifted differently, you aren't enough. You cannot do this.
Yeah, you don't measure up.
Yeah.
You should be.
Right.
And let's just pile on some shame and then.
Right. And even in our decision to switch ministries, even just switching ministries brought on deep shame because people would make comments and question your call, or did you really hear correctly?
Yep.
What you're doing now isn't significant enough. And so I worked through it then, and then you leave ministry, we work through it all over again.
Yeah, or like throw in like burnout in the midst of that too. And
right.
I'm like, I don't have what it takes, or
right.
those doubts like creep in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ashamed of myself and that I'm not strong enough to do it. All of that translates to real world like parenting and like marketplace work too. Same dynamics are at work.
But yes.
Man, it just felt really wonky, like mixed in with spiritual stuff too in ministry world.
Right.
So anyway, all that is we're circling around us.
So how we even got to this topic is because it's come up for me personally 3 times in the last week. 3 different.
You shamed somebody?
No. Well, I may have in the midst of it, because that's what you do when someone shames you. You want to shame back, or you respond out of that in the same unhealth. But I hope I'm getting better at not doing that. But 3 different times in the last week, in my job, there were certain things that came up that made me feel deep shame based on what other people said with their words. And thankfully, I've done enough work that I was able to know I was being triggered and to do something about it quickly. And so we've been processing a lot on this topic in the last week as a result.
What do you mean triggered? Like that something's going on. What does that even mean?
Right.
That word is thrown around a lot.
Right. So, I mean, a lot of it comes in how people will respond to something. So let's just say, for instance, you ask a group of people or you put something online and say, this is really hard right now. Could you pray for this situation? And instead of people responding with empathy or a me too or totally, I'm praying, they try to fix it. They give you the recipe for what you need to be, should be doing. I love getting should on. That's my favorite.
Whoa.
You should be doing this or that, or, you know, like the advice, or, you know, being told if you don't do this, then you are not that. So in tying it to my identity versus.
So then that causes all this like emotion to bubble up, right? Is that what you mean by like being triggered and like, like what's going on? Like, why am I so frustrated with that response? And why do I want to pull back? Why do I want to?
Oh yeah. I want to disengage.
I want to make myself small and like disengage and be, get out of the spotlight all of a sudden or something.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, just identifying that like, okay, this is.
Yeah. So hold on. So. Those things are bad. Like, for sure, shame is bad. Like, we want to identify those things. But let's, before you get to, like, how to deal with the healthy ways, what are the unhealthy, like, responses that we see in us and just in general?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get angry. I want to lash out. Or I just want
to. Cuss at people?
Totally. I do. I do want to cuss at people. I want to throat chop them. And then I want to totally disengage and believe lies that, nope, you are not good enough. You'll never be able to do this. They aren't what you think you are. And just withdraw. And that's so unhealthy.
Withdraw from people.
Yeah, from relationally, people. Exactly.
From connection.
Yep. And especially as an introvert, I'm like, peace out. I don't. It takes a lot of energy for me to engage anyways. And so.
Yep. I think attached to this conversation is the rise in anxiety as well.
Oh, yeah. It makes me so anxious.
So just constantly wondering if I'm saying the right things, doing the right things. I just don't. I fight for like a sense of peace and all of that. So because I'm worried about being ashamed of something that I do wrong, I just have this anxiety. And I see this. I mean, I see this. We see this with 20 somethings for sure, but more and more with across the board.
Well, and we see it in addictions. Like that's one of the things that she talks about.
Coping.
When you don't then move through it, when you don't deal with it, you go into all kinds of addictions and self-harm.
Yep, totally. Funny note, this morning, my friend Chris McKinney, who probably doesn't listen to this or even have any idea that I have a podcast, but he posted on Twitter that it's an article from The Economist magazine. It said 63% of Instagram users report being miserable.
That's terrible.
It's a higher share than any other social network.
I'm surprised. More than Facebook.
Yeah. And I didn't read the whole article, but it's based around this idea that we show our best selves on Instagram and it's not aligning with our real life.
Right.
Because we're living two like distinct, sometimes multiple distinct lives, portraying multiple distinct lives to the world because we're ashamed of full vulnerability or being known, which I thought was super interesting. So again, unhealthy to compartmentalize your life and live two different lives or portray two different lives to the world.
And they're miserable because they're comparing their life to everyone else, which also will bring up shame.
Shame. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't move toward coping. Okay. Keep going. What's the healthy way to deal with this?
Well,
teach me.
I reread a lot of her things this week and watched her TED Talks and some other things. Brené Brown. Love that woman.
Big fan.
But not just her. I mean, going back to my relationship with God, he gets to tell me who I am. No one else should be allowed to tell me those things. But I allow people to do it. That's why you spiral out of control. So you have to like see it for what it is, go back to who God says you are, who you are, believe the truthful things, and process it, work through it, and find someone who is also safe to process those things with, because not everyone is a safe person to process your shame with.
Okay, so how do I be a safe person?
You don't try to fix it.
Okay.
You don't tell me all.
I've learned that from 17 years of marriage, 18 years of marriage.
That's right.
How long have we been married?
17 and a half. Yep. A lot of listening. And also one of the things that you did for me last week was like, well, okay, let's go back to what is your purpose? Like, what do you value? What do you want out of this situation? What do you want for others? What do you want for yourself? And then...
So clarifying.
Yeah, clarifying your own values, your identity. Who, like, what makes me me? What makes me tick and passionate and do those things? Don't do it because someone else says to do it or thinks you should do it or has an expectation that you should do it.
Yep. So clarifying your North Star, North Stars, where you're headed, what you want to be about, your values, who mm-hmm. you are. And for us, aligning that with kind of a biblical view of how God views us, which is fully accepted, fully known,
right,
loved, not dependent on what we do or earning something.
Right. I love that she calls shame is a swampland of the soul. And I just feel like that is so true. You can just get totally sucked in to the muck and the mire of that. If you sit in it, if you keep it silent, if you don't share it and process it.
Okay. So I have a question though. Like, we each have, I mean, both of us and then people we know have trauma or abuse or, you know, just really heavy brokenness in right. their life, which moves to shame. How do you deal with that?
Well, even as I was listening this morning, I mean, shame with things like trauma, it's usually not the trauma that causes the shame. It's the secrecy. Or the silence of that, like keeping it to yourself and feeling like you can't tell anyone that.
Yeah.
So once you find that safe person and you're able to get it out in the light, to talk about it and to process it, you feel like that burden and that weight lifted. Mm. You can heal from it.
Yeah.
Yes, there's always going to be the pain and, you know, the thing that happened, but you're able to move through it and heal. If that makes any sense. Gold. Yeah.
So save people clarity about who you are,
mm-hmm.
Reminding yourself of what you value, your identity, those sort of things. Anything
right.
else on how you deal well with shame?
Well, I mean, those are the biggest things I think for me. I wrote down notes. There was one of my ways that I like to do things unhealthily is I want to flip them the bird. I want to be like, peace out. I don't have to care what you think. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't have to take any of that into consideration. And yes, there are people that you really just shouldn't take their voice or their opinions into consideration. But when you do that, then you cut off connection. And we have to care what other people think to an extent so that we can connect. And we want deep connection with people.
Especially if it's like family or coworkers.
Right.
Or people that you can't just disregard forever.
Right. So choosing not to disconnect in that way and yet not letting them tell you if you're worthwhile, if you're worthy. They don't get to tell you who you are.
Yep. Yeah, so filtering that a little bit and holding that.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things tighter than others. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, well, my last question for you. How do you – maybe this is from a leadership perspective too – or parenting with our kids, how do I hold them to a higher standard? Like, we hold our kids to pretty high expectations, high standards, because I think often people respond to that. Like, I want to be high challenge, but also what I would say high invitation or high relational.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe I'm answering my own question, but how do you do those things? Like, no, you should clear the table with your dishes without me asking 100 times a night. You know, those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's silly, but how do you do those things, hold them to high expectations, but not shame them?
Right. Well, I mean, that would be even this morning.
Or each other, like even in marriage too, I think similar.
Using words like, I you always do this. You always fail at.
But they do always do this.
I know, but we have to be really cautious in our words and the way we say things really, really matter. So how do
you say it differently instead of you always leave your towel in the middle of the floor? I've told you 100 million times.
I don't know. I keep doing that.
how do you connect with your kids and not shame them, but still teach and coach and discipline when needed?
Right. Well, the word coach, and when I think about coaching, I think of someone who asks good questions. And a lot of times, if we can rephrase it and we word it and ask questions, then they answer it themselves.
Like, why are you being dumb?
Not like
I
that.
I really love my kids. I think I'm a pretty good dad. But
he's a great ridiculous. Dad. He's being ridiculous right now.
Yeah. So it's ask questions like, why is some, help me understand this. What's going on? Why?
Right. How can I help you win? Yeah,
how can I help you get this back on the hook in the bathroom instead of every night leaving it in the middle of the floor? Those sort of things. It's still a work in process.
I don't know. I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Every day.
And that's okay.
And like, failing every day.
Yep. I just want to be I need some more coffee or something. I want to be aware that I'm not shaming my kids, that I'm caring more about connection relationally with them and others and other people around me and not shaming people. But then also knowing how I respond to people who sometimes unintentionally or unconsciously shame me.
Right. And that's part of the deal is that we can't give away something that we don't possess.
Yeah.
And so if we aren't doing our own personal work and our own personal growth in these areas, then we're absolutely going to be passing the negative things on. So I'm really trying to work at that. Like I said, I fail at it every single day, but making steps.
I'm ashamed.
See, self-talk. Self-talk is so big.
Self-talk.
It's about progress, not perfection.
Oh, you're like channeling your inner Brené Brown right now. Thank you.
I've had to do a lot of work this week.
It's so good. So good. Yeah, I think the bottom line for me is like being aware that we're moving into the shame culture and it's embedded in just about everything we do, from PTA world to parenting to work to social media to even the Christian community sometimes, and how to navigate that and still be who you are and respond healthy and with an eye toward growing and moving toward connection and health and relationally and spiritually as well.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Man.
That was a lot.
We're deep.
If anyone comes back next time.
Yep. I promise we'll talk about something lighter next week. How about that?
Well, okay. Oh, we won't be. Next week, we will be on a ship. Taking a break. That's right. We'll be in Key West. No, we'll be in the Bahamas next Thursday. So
eight hours.
That's right. Oh, but we will let you know all about it when we get back.
Follow us on The Art of Instagram.
The Art of Instagram.
The Art of Thriving. Gosh, I need some coffee or lunch or something. The Art of Thriving on Instagram.
There you go.
Oh, thanks for those that subscribed, by the way, to our email newsletter. Sorry that our website says that you're going to get some like free incentive, and we haven't written that. We're working on it. We've been working on it for like 2 years. We'll get there eventually. Thanks. So fun doing this with you guys. Thanks for listening. Feel free to reach out if you have questions.
Until next time.
Have a great day.